Sam here. I was just figuring that you were doing such a great job and everybody was having so much fun. I just was enjoying sitting back and listening to the talk. And I know that there's a lot of people who should be interested in tonight's information, because hypertension is really one of the major plagues in our society. So
absolutely. Exactly, because so many people have hypertension that they don't even know it. So this is something that we definitely should all be concerned with.
Definitely. You know, I know that Amy mentioned that if you hit *6, it will mute out your background noise, and we appreciate everybody doing that. And Amy, if you want to let everybody know all of the basic information about this call, what it's about, and how they could listen again or recommend it to others, that would be great.
Absolutely. We try to make it as easy as possible to pass this call along, share it with friends and loved ones and family members. And there are three ways that you can do that. One is by calling our replay line starting tomorrow. And you can access that replay line by dialing 212-461-8911. Again, that will be ready starting tomorrow afternoon and run for one full week. Also, you can log on to our website or refer people to www.phporder.com and click on the education tab. Or if we have your email address on file, we will email you out a web link. So you can listen, you can click on that web link and listen right directly on your computer, or you can download the file and download it onto your iPod and listen to it, or burn a CD. So we try to make it as easy as possible, and we encourage you to please share this really important information with anyone that you care about that that may benefit from it.
You know, Amy, there's a lot of drugs on the market for hypertension, as we know, and there's a lot of people waking up to the reality that sometimes, even though the drug may control the condition, the drug may come with side effects, and it may not actually address the underlying reasons why we develop that condition. And one example in the news right now would be Avandia, the drug used to control type 2 diabetes. So I think that any time that people could get knowledge about how to avoid a condition or how to naturally reduce the underlying cause of a condition, that there's a great chance that they could avoid that condition in their lifetime. So these battle plans, as Amy tells you time and time again, they're not medical advice. We are not doctors. We're educators. We simply want to share knowledge with you, knowledge about how, if you are seeking an alternative to traditional medical practices, which you might associate with pharmaceutical drugs and with risk of death or some severe side effect, then perhaps you might want to maybe take control of your own health, sort of become your own master in a way of your destiny, and we want to help you to do that. So, Amy, I know that we put together what I think is a fairly comprehensive approach to dealing with hypertension, otherwise known as high blood pressure. So whenever you're ready, let's get right into it.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Amy, and I'm one of the owners and founders of Platinum Health Products. And as most all of you know, or as the repeat listeners, we're lucky to have Dave Sandoval, who's the other owner and founder of Platinum Health Products, on the line with us each and every week to share his extensive knowledge about whole food nutrition and how we can combat these things that can really take a toll on our life and our quality of life with nutrition and simple lifestyle and dietary changes. So Dave's put over 20 years of his life researching how to basically improve the quality of life with the food you eat and the things that you put into your body, and how to really avoid really devastating, catastrophic events in your life by just taking a little bit of care in what you put in your body. So thank you, Dave, so much for being on the line with us tonight.
Yeah, you know, Amy, it's funny how the Chinese always said prevention is cure, you know, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, because if the things that you're doing will lead you to having a disease, and you stop doing those things or start doing different things, and that means that you don't get the disease, then what could be a better cure for your body? And, you know, Amy, the funny thing is that, you know, remember how we used to talk about Humpty Dumpty nutrition, or excuse me, Humpty Dumpty medicine?
Right, right. Like fixing it after it was broken.
Yeah, I know, Amy, you lived in a house where your mom had some nice things. You weren't rich for sure, but let's say that you went around a corner and you knocked over a vase or a vase and it broke, like a little chip came off of it, right?
Right.
You'd have probably tried at least to get some super glue. At least I would have tried. I mean, you probably wouldn't have. I would have tried to put it back together, you know, and maybe spin it around a little bit. And maybe it might be a while before I got up the courage to tell Mom what had happened, you know, maybe that right moment. You know, but the bottom line is it'll never be the same, you know, once you break it, no matter how well you fix it or try to hide. I mean,
Exactly.
Eventually it shows through, and one day Mom's going to be dusting it and say,
what's going on here?
Exactly. So that's all. You can only suppress or hide something that's, you know, breaking or broken for so long, and so it's better, obviously, not to break it to begin with.
Exactly. And our philosophy here at Platinum Health Products, as Dave kind of mentioned earlier, is that knowledge is power. We want to provide knowledge to you, not medical advice. Again, we are not doctors. We are not providing medical advice, but we're providing knowledge so you can go out, make some informed decisions, and, you know, hopefully be aware of some of these things that can just creep up on us. There's so many people that suffer with conditions such as hypertension or diabetes that don't even know it. And so, again, we believe that knowledge is power, and we want to educate. That's what we're all about here at Platinum Health Products is education.
Because you made such a beautiful point right now, and the thing is that knowledge, I mean, that's power you could give away. Think about being able to give people power. What's more beautiful than that? I mean, when you share knowledge, it's like handing somebody power, and that's pretty cool because most people hold on to power. Very few people give it away.
Exactly. Well, that's what we feel our job is. So, why don't we get right into it, and why don't you tell us exactly what is hypertension?
Well, hypertension is basically also known as high blood pressure, and blood pressure is a measurement of the force with which the heart sends blood through the arteries. Again, you know, blood pressure is just a measurement of the force with which the heart sends blood coursing through the arteries, and it's like air pressure in your tire, you know, and so the peak pressure exerted when the heart is actually beating is called systolic pressure. And so when the heart is beating, that means it's contracting, and when the heart is contracting, we call this systolic, and so the systolic pressure is measured, and then the diastolic pressure is oftentimes measured as well. And that's the reading taken when the heart is at rest. So think about it, if you put a jack underneath your car and you measure the pressure in the tire when all the weight of the car is on it, and then you put it up on the jack and you look at the tire and you measure it when the weight isn't on it, there's actually going to be a different measure because of the pressure that's exerted on the outside. Well, the heart is the same way. And a lot of times, Amy, they give you these two numbers, and what scientists have found is that the only number that really matters is the number when there's pressure on your heart, when the what's called diastolic pressure isn't as important. The systolic pressure,
it's
when the heart is beating,
number.
Yeah, that's the important number to look at. So should I throw out some numbers there, Amy, and let people know what to look for?
Yeah, definitely, because I'm not really sure myself.
Okay, when should you start to worry? I think when you should start to worry is when you are when you're looking at 160, when you're looking at 120 on the systolic pressure, then you probably are starting to worry. When you look at 140, you definitely have a problem. If it gets to be 160, then you have a severe problem, and you're really at risk for having, you know, major difficulties. So that's basically what I would say is the guidelines. Just think of 120, 140, 160.
Mm-hmm.
120 means that you're developing a problem. 140 means you have a problem. 160 means you're in danger. And elevated blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart attacks. And it's probably the number one reason why people get strokes.
Exactly.
And so, I'm sorry. I think I get it. I should have the opportunity to tell everybody that I just got in on a plane after getting up really early this morning and having a workshop in where was I?
Clearwater, Florida.
In Clearwater, Florida, till about 11:30 last night, and so it's been a very long day for me. So if I miss a beat, I'm going to ask for everybody's understanding and forgiveness. But again, elevated blood pressure is the reason why we get heart attacks, and probably the main reason why we get strokes as well.
Exactly, and blood pressure typically increases as a result of stress or physical activity, and who doesn't have stress in their lives these days? And a person with high blood pressure, however, their blood pressure is elevated even while it rests. So you certainly don't want to take your blood pressure on a super stressful day, because that's not going to be necessarily an accurate reading, or you certainly don't want to take your blood pressure after strenuous exercise. Exactly. And
Let's call it your standing, almost like at the same time you take your standing heart rate, that's when you want to take your blood pressure. And Amy, one thing I wanted to talk about before we move on, because I know we've got a lot of information to cover. Remember what we were talking about, what's called white coat syndrome?
Is that when you get really nervous before you go to the doctor?
Yeah. And so what they found was, like, when you take your own blood pressure at let's say, the store, that you get a much more accurate reading because people get nervous and they're worried about the outcome if their doctor finds out they have high blood pressure or whatever. So it's called white coat syndrome. So try to relax when you go to see the doctor, to make sure you don't get a false reading and end up on medication unnecessarily.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or maybe take some Stress-X on your way to the doctor's office.
But there's a lot of different take some Stress-X. I just got that. That's exactly right. So there's a lot of causes of hypertension. And usually high blood pressure occurs due to a strain on the heart. That's the main reason, just like the weight of the car, you know. And if you've ever seen a car that, like a truck, and they put way too much weight into it in the back, and the tires get so much pressure in them that they're bulging and they might even pop, well, that's sort of what your heart does. It gets so much pressure that it pops. So why don't you and I break it down for everybody? We'll start, you know, with atherosclerosis and move on from there. So,
right.
Would you like to go first?
Which that is clogging of arteries, and because the arteries become obstructed with cholesterol or plaque, circulation of the blood through the vessels becomes very difficult. So imagine it's like your pipes at home. If you're really in need of a repipe, you have all this grunge built up in the pipes, the water's not going to flow through very efficiently. So that's what happens with our arteries. And when the arteries harden, the blood is forced through a narrower passageway, which results with blood pressure becoming elevated. So I think everyone can visualize that. The same amount of blood is going through, but through a narrower opening, and so definitely the pressure builds with that.
You know what I just thought of in my head when you were saying that? Like if you had a garden hose, right, and you have that spray nozzle on the end and you've got it turned off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the garden hose will sort of, it'll like stretch and sort of swell up a little bit when it's all full of water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you let the water out, like you turn off the water and then you hit the end, then the water goes out and then that water hose, you know, isn't nearly as plump, right?
Exactly.
Now, if you had, let's say, a PVC pipe or some type of hard, let's say, you know, something hard, then all of the pressure would be placed upon where the nozzle is because there would be no stretch or no give in the hose. And the hardening of the arteries is like a garden hose. It should be so that when extra pressure, it just flexes a little bit. It stretches a little bit. But when it's hard, it can't stretch in some places. And so the places where it can stretch has to stretch even more. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And that causes the problem. But there's something else, though, like lifestyle things that could really contribute to that, isn't there, Amy?
Like alcoholism, like excessive consumption of alcohol definitely raises blood sugar levels and increases the production of free radicals, and both of these can damage the arteries. Alcoholics typically eat poorly, and consequently their vitamin and mineral deficiencies, which also contribute to poor cardiovascular health.
Yeah, we always know that alcohol reduces, especially antioxidants, because the alcohol creates free radicals and the body uses the available antioxidants to help reduce the impact or the damage done by the alcohol to the liver and other organs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of, if you drink alcohol, it's going to, you know, really contribute to the condition. So, but let's say that you're not addicted to alcohol. Sometimes you're addicted to other stuff that could be just as bad, right?
Well, like smoking, like nicotine or like coffee, caffeine. So lifestyle choices like smoking and consuming coffee and alcohol are all known to cause hypertension. Caffeine and nicotine are stimulants that promote the release of stress hormones that can elevate the blood pressure. Like when you get stressed out, like as we were talking about before, your blood pressure will increase. But if you are artificially causing those stress hormones to be produced by the consumption of caffeine and nicotine, it's happening all the time. And if you are a chain smoker or you drink several cups of coffee or sodas throughout the day, you are consistently overwhelming your system with these stress hormones, and you're creating a constant elevated blood pressure.
So what you're saying is that a couple of drinks or cigarette that helps them, quote, relieve stress, really, it relieves stress maybe in their mind but creates severe stress
in their body,
on their physiology. And you know, stress, as Amy said, we can't avoid stress in our lives. It's how we deal with stress that's so important. And if the way we deal with stress is to take a chemical compound that actually stresses our body even more, that's just like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Absolutely.
but there's another lifestyle type of indicator, I think, that we have to look at, and that has to do with the way that we eat.
Absolutely. I mean, that's our weight. Obesity is running rampant in today's society, and obesity is a leading cause of hypertension. So a diet high in animal fat, sugar and salt, and low in fiber, low in vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids, which is typical of the Western diet, appears to be the main cause of hypertension. Obesity leads to excessive sugar in the blood, high cholesterol, and hardening or clogging of the arteries. So this is something that we have to be very, very careful about. And there's so many of us, even our children, as we've talked about in conference calls in the past, are obese. Even if we're carrying 10 or 20 or 30 pounds, we may not look, quote, obese, like in our mind what we think of as, quote, obese, but it is taxing the heart and it's taxing the cardiovascular system.
Absolutely. And another thing we have to remember is that if you suffer from kidney disease, then you're probably going to have extra fluid building up in your body, and extra fluid in your body increases blood pressure as well. Well, there's something else that increases blood pressure by causing an influx or a retention, excuse me, of fluid in the body also. And we all know that that, you know, excess salt is a reason why. Now, the kidneys process salt, and so the kidneys and sodium are going to be closely related to water retention. The more water that we retain, then the greater the pressure is within our body, the overall bodily body pressure, and that raises the blood pressure, and that's very, very important to look at. And soft water and exposure to lead in drinking water also contribute to high blood pressure.
Absolutely.
Those are a couple of interesting facts, but there's a lot more facts that you should probably be aware of. Amy, there's a few things that we've covered, but why don't you sort of summarize and just let people know in a nutshell what they should know about hypertension.
Well, an interesting fact was over 60 million Americans, approximately 1 in 4, have high blood pressure, and more than half of all Americans aged 65 to 74 years old have high blood pressure. That is an overwhelming number of elderly people that have high blood pressure. 25%, that is a whopping number of Americans that have high blood pressure.
Now, you and I have thrown out some pretty serious statistics over the years, haven't we? But, I mean, could you think of anything that is as widespread as this? 50% of people over 65?
Wow.
If our goal is to live a long life free from disease, and by the time we're barely half, you know, or a little over half of what
half.
I think we should aim for, you're already suffering from this. I think that is 50%. That's crazy.
Also, a physically unfit individual has 8 times greater risk of heart attack or stroke than a fit individual. And so that goes back up to what we were talking about before with obesity and weight control in relationship to your cardiovascular health.
So you've just named 2 of the 3 most prominent risk factors, or I guess lifestyle, you've named the first of 2 of the most prominent lifestyle sort of contributors. So if you're overweight, if you're unfit, that is the number one contributor. But there's something else as well, probably the second leading cause or contributor to stroke, and you've already covered that, but I think it's worth reemphasizing.
Well, absolutely, and this is something that, although I totally understand it's an addiction, and I totally understand it's very difficult to break addictions, that cigarette smoking should be considered the most important risk factor that's completely under your control for coronary heart disease. Whatever you do, put down those cigarettes. Stop smoking. If you know someone, if someone's in your household, a loved one, a friend, a family member, you know, it's all over there. It's in the media. It's right on the packages of cigarettes that people buy. But for some reason, people are still smoking in this day and age, and I just don't understand it. But that is something that is in complete control and could be, you know, stopped immediately and needs to, because it is a huge risk factor for coronary heart disease.
And, you know, Amy, it's not the tobacco per se, as it is the dozens of chemicals that are used in the processing, the preserving, the curing of the tobacco as well. So we're not simply talking about a tobacco issue here. We're talking about a chemical exposure, which is just unprecedented. I can't think of any consumer product other than perhaps the Twinkie that even comes close.
Exactly.
You heard about the book that the guy wrote about, you know, what goes into making a Twinkie, and there were like 37 ingredients. You did read about it?
It was terrible. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us, now that we've given some, you know, facts here, why don't you tell us about some signs and symptoms to look for if you haven't been to the doctor, if you haven't had your blood pressure checked, and you think that you might be one of those 25% or 50% if you're over 65 to look for?
Well, Amy, it's important to note that blood vessels don't have nerve endings. And so no matter how much your blood vessels might be like messing up or not functioning properly, there's no pain that's felt. There's nothing that you feel in high blood pressure until you have that stroke or heart attack. Then it there's no other way to know. So high blood pressure is typically discovered during a checkup, but if you don't get a checkup, you might be, you might need to think about this. If you, let's say that you're feeling a lot of stress and you feel confused and dizzy, emotionally unstable, you feel real tired, a headache comes on, you know, you forget the things that happened, then that's, you know, that, and Amy's going, well, wait a minute.
That could be me.
That means I have a stroke every day. I'm just joking. But, this is serious confusion and dizziness, you know, like fatigue and headaches associated with stress. Whenever you encounter stress, if this happens, there's a good sign that you have high blood pressure. And if you have a numbness or tingling in your hands and feet on a regular basis, you have to really be concerned. And when you cough and your nose starts to bleed, or if you cough and blood is seen in, like, in your spit, then there's a good chance you have high blood pressure. In fact, it's almost guaranteed if you're coughing blood that you've got to see a doctor. And if you get shortness of breath, I mean, if you, by doing little things like going up 3 stairs or by walking across the room quickly or bending down to pick something up, if those things all of a sudden have you going, then definitely you have got high blood pressure. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, we always like to talk about what kind of foods you should eliminate and what kind of foods you should incorporate, what kind of lifestyle choices, and then, of course, we talk about superfoods or nutritional supplements. So let's start with the diet and talk about a few things that we should include and a few things we should definitely cut out of the diet. And the first thing that we should cut out of our diet, and this is hard for some of us, I know, is we need to have a salt-free diet if we are concerned about high blood pressure, if it runs in the family. Avoid accent flavor enhancers like the MSG, the monosodium glutamate, and that means that you may not be able to eat at your favorite Chinese restaurant. You need to ask if they use MSG or if it's an MSG-free establishment. Baking soda, very high in sodium. Canned vegetables, commercially prepared foods. Over-the-counter medications actually contain sodium, which is quite interesting. I did not know that. Medications that contain ibuprofen have sodium. Diet soft drinks have sodium. Preservatives have sodium. Most sugar substitutes have sodium. Meat tenderizers and, of course, soy sauce is very high in sodium. So start to read labels. You know, avoid processed foods. Any kind of processed food is going to have quite a bit of sodium in it. Also, we want to include a diet high in fiber or supplement the fiber if you don't feel like you're getting enough fiber with the foods you eat. We recommend eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, which are rich in fiber as well as potassium, which is important, such as apples, asparagus, bananas, broccoli, cabbage, cantaloupe, garlic, grapefruit, any type of green leafy vegetables. Melons are great. Prunes, squash, and sweet potatoes are definitely things that you want to incorporate into your diet. Also, drinking the following juices can be helpful, like beet juice, like carrot juice, like celery juice, cranberry, parsley, spinach. Watermelon juice is phenomenal. And include seeded foods like brown rice, buckwheat, millet, and oats in your diet. They are all excellent sources of fiber. You also want to avoid any type of saturated fats, margarine, and foods containing trans fatty acids or trans fat. You want to be very careful of those trans fats. Do you want to give us a little quick breakdown of what those trans fats are, and also what you were talking about at the conference this weekend? When is 0 times 2 not equal to 0?
Yeah, it's funny. The deception, I think, of trans fats is the clearest indicator of how a fraud was perpetrated on the citizens of the United States. It is one of the clearest examples of how a supposedly well-intentioned and knowledgeable medical community was, I hate to put this, but culpable in millions and millions of deaths. And the reason why is because they convinced Americans that taking a poison was, I'm telling you that trans fats can be described as nothing more than poison because they kill you. They perpetrated the fraud by convincing Americans to give up fats like butter and coconut oil, which I contend are actually good for the human body, and replacing them with a margarine or butter substitute, a cooking oil substitute, that was a vegetable oil. And on the surface, that sounds really good, except that a vegetable oil is a very unstable compound that easily rancifies. And so in order to stabilize it, in the receptor sites where oxygen would usually attach to vegetable oil for the purposes of oxidizing and breaking it down, which of course means rancification, they bonded a hydrogen atom there instead. So you have hydrogen atoms where oxygen molecules usually go, and in doing so you block the oxygen from ever rancifying or oxidizing the food. Unfortunately, our body uses uses the same concept in order to digest food. And so this fat now becomes undigestible. And that undigestible fat compound needs to be eliminated by your body, but oftentimes there is no passageway to eliminate it because it's not recognized as in other words, your body can't deal with it. And so your body stores it, figuring, well, when I figure out what to do with it, then I'll take it out and process it. But your body never figures out what to do with it unless you do some severe detoxification. And so I hope I didn't spend too much time on the subject, but a fat that is bound with hydrogen will never be able to be digested and thus is a poison in your body, thus a trans fat, and that's what we have to look out for. But the important, probably the interesting story you wanted me to share with you is, when is 2 times 0 not 0? And the answer is when you're talking about servings of trans fats in snack foods. And this is the reason why. The industry went to the government and said, you want us to have 0 trans fats, but what happens if by some accidental reason we mix this ingredient and a trans fat occurs, you know, by accident, and there's a fraction of a trans fat in there, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to be, you know, taken to court and sued. And the government said, oh, we understand. I'll tell you what, as long as there's less than a half a gram of trans fat per serving, then we'll let you say that there's 0 trans fats per serving. Less than half is 0. We round down. And so the industry said, okay. And the reason I bring this to your attention is because I personally have a snack that I have been looking at, and the trans fats, you know, and there was a box right next to it. And apparently they had one product that was replaced by the new packaging. And the new packaging said 0 grams of trans fats per serving. So I looked at the ingredients and trying to figure out what had changed, but nothing had changed. And then I looked at the serving size. And the only thing that changed, instead of having 4 cookies per serving, they have 1 cookie per serving. And with 1 cookie per serving, there's less than 1/2 gram of trans fats per serving. And that is that's a half truth, and my grandfather said a half truth is what, Amy?
A whole entire lie. I mean, that is just a complete deception of the American public, and we just want to, you know, make sure that everyone is reading the labels and checking this out. Like, if you've ever seen something as ridiculous as one of those big muffins, and it says the serving size is 1/4 of a muffin, or there's 4 servings per muffin, who's going to eat? Who's going to only eat 1/4 of a muffin? It's just ridiculous. So just be aware and please read your labels diligently. And this is just such a deception when a lot of times when they say 0 trans fats.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I stepped away for just a moment. But, you know, Amy, what's crazy is that you try to read labels, you try to be diligent, and they're finding ways to deceive you. So it's not about the nutritional panel, and it's not about what they write and splash on the front of the box, right?
Right. It's about reading that long list of ingredients and understanding, or better yet, avoiding that processed food and eating simpler on the food chain, eating those fresh fruits and vegetables and much lower, less processed foods, and then we don't have to worry about that as much.
I love that woman who came up to us this past weekend in Miami, and she looked at Nutrition Now Meal Option, and she looks at me and she goes, there's only 5 ingredients.
I know, and she was shocked, and she said, usually meal replacements have 30 ingredients and 10 types of sugars. And we said, well, that's why that's why we're unique, and that's why we think that you should promote our products, is because we stand for something. We don't add all this junk. We don't add sugars and fillers and these long words that you can't pronounce in our list of ingredients.
Well, why don't you give, let's say, some foods that people might want to include in their life, and maybe some things, you know, we've covered smoking enough, but why don't we go down like some of the foods they might want to eat, and then some of the lifestyle management things that might greatly contribute to the blood pressure control.
Exactly. Well, sorry for taking that little diversion on the trans fat. I just thought that was a real important thing to share. And, of course, we mentioned to avoid processed foods. They elevate cholesterol levels, they elevate blood pressure, and they increase the risk for obesity and diabetes. What you do want to increase in your diet is cold water fish, such as salmon, mackerel, or tuna, and halibut. And try to have these kind of foods at least 3 times a week. These foods contain the omega-3 essential fatty acids that thin the blood and have numerous beneficial effects on your cardiovascular health. So definitely increase that cold water fish into your diet. And again, as we said, anything high in fiber, like fresh fruits and vegetables, like whole grains and legumes, are excellent sources of fiber. And some lifestyle things, minimize the consumption of caffeine, and I know that's hard, But that is definitely something.
How do you know that's hard, Amy?
I know it's hard because I am a person who likes my caffeine. Although I did quit, but unfortunately Starbucks was calling my name, and I do have coffee still from time to time. You want to lose?
You also work 17 hours a day, and you have like maybe a 3 to 4 cups a week, so it's not as bad as you make it sound.
Yeah, I know. lose weight. I mean, we talk about that all the time, but that is something you can do, a lifestyle choice. You can make a conscious decision that you're going to stop gaining weight, you're going to start being conscious of what you eat, and start on a weight loss regimen. But you have to be conscious of it first. You have to say, hey, I'm stopping here, and turn your life around, basically. Also, consistent aerobic exercise, very important. This can prevent hypertension. It can lower existing high blood pressure. Exercise is highly recommended because it also reduces stress along with blood pressure. And so we recommend that you exercise a minimum of 30 minutes 3 times a week. And if you can't do strenuous aerobic exercise, walking, it's awesome. You know, get out and walk in your neighborhood in this awesome spring weather, or go to the gym, walk on the treadmill. If you live in an area where the climate prevents walking outside, go to the mall. Walk in an indoor mall. I see people doing that all the time.
Shopping, huh, Amy?
Huh?
Go shopping.
Well, I meant, you know, there's the mall walking clubs, you know, literally.
I mean, nothing relieves stress like shopping, right?
Absolutely.
Can I make a couple of suggestions also that when you, you know, Amy, whenever you see me and there's all the people going up the escalator, I'm walking up the stairs.
Absolutely.
We're on the 7th floor in Miami.
At
and
the
I
hotel.
I took the stairs twice a day.
Exactly.
When I park, I used to try, I'd circle around until I got the closest space to get with some type of competition.
But why?
When I could always get the spot at the very back, and then I actually get the joy of, like, walking and relieving a little bit of stress as I get into the store, and I'm serious about that.
No, I am, exactly. So there are ways to fit in, and you don't have to walk at a snail's pace. Most of my friends, they used to make fun of me because I walked super fast, and now they just walk super fast with me, and we get in a little exercise while we're going somewhere. And don't be afraid to walk to the store. It is, especially in California, people are like, what, you walked? And I grew up in Texas, and everything's so far apart, you don't walk anywhere, but walking's great. My friend and I, in fact, we walked 8 miles on Friday nights. We go out to dinner and then we walk, and so we don't feel so bad about, you know, having a little dessert or a little cup of coffee or something like that. So incorporate walking into your life. It'll reduce stress and reduce that high blood pressure. Also, Dave, why don't you tell us about some stress management techniques? Because, again, as we talked about, stress is such a leading cause of high blood pressure. What can we do to kind of avoid the stress or mitigate the stress that's in our lives?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to realize that nothing's ever as bad as it seems.
Right.
I see, yeah, there's true crises that happen in our lifetime, but they're few, they're rare, and they're far between.
Right.
And most of the time we worry over stuff that really doesn't amount to anything, that we actually, you know, almost, you know, build things up, and we've got to stop doing that, and we've got to stop, you know, imagining the worst and instead expect the best. I think that that's the really good advice. Stop imagining the worst and expect the best. And that's going to relieve stress. Start visualizing good things happening, and that also is very important. But let's talk about some traditional things you could do. Breathing. When you're under stress, you're breathing very shallow. Begin to take deep and rhythmic breaths. As you take deep and rhythmic breaths, just imagine as you exhale the stress being released from your body. It's a beautiful thing. It's very easy and simple technique. There's the basic, you know, techniques of Qigong. There's the more complex techniques of Tai Chi. But I recommend a simple yoga class, a guided meditation class. You might consider, as Amy said, a walking club. But more importantly, I think attitude is everything. If you accept an attitude of defeat and accept an attitude of fear, then you're going to have that. It will manifest itself to you. So Amy and I are inviting everybody to just take a look at their life and all the times that they've worried a lot about something, and in the end it didn't amount to much, and all of the worry and all of the people that you perhaps, you know, might have impacted while you were feeling that stress. So, you know, be a little bit easier on yourself and be very forgiving of others. The more you forgive others, I mean, I'm telling you, when you just don't judge other people so harshly, the stress comes off of you. There's a lot of stress to being judgmental and angry. You really want to be loving and caring and understanding and forgiving, and that alone relieves stress as well. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for when you asked that question, but that's the advice I'd like to offer.
Well, no, that's exactly what I was looking for. And also, don't be so hard on yourself. And I'm very hard on myself. And I create, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And it's rough. And I know a lot of us type A, Virgo-like personalities do that, and it can definitely take its toll on your health. So yeah.
Love yourself.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into some of the nutritional supplements that we recommend that you can incorporate into your diet, the superfoods, if you will. And so, Dave, tell us about it's simple, but it's a superstar, and that would be the Flax Advantage, the organic blonde golden flax seeds. Tell us about how that can help it, you know, with the circulatory system.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think that when we look at our flaxseed, you got to understand that there's a number of benefits that are going to be found in the heart. The first thing is flaxseeds are a great source of essential fatty acids, and essential fatty acids, the proper fat, good fats, are actually going to increase circulation. They're going to help lower blood pressure. And there's additional benefits to flaxseed. And I just want to cover the whole flaxseed conundrum, because a lot of people take flaxseed oil. That flaxseed oil has been, you know, extracted from flaxseeds. And in doing so, there is obviously, at the point at which you grind any seed into a fine powder, when you grind any seed to extract the oil, then you're going to cause that volatile oil to somehow be exposed to fraction. It needs to be fractioned in some way. And I've never seen a flaxseed oil that hadn't been fractionalized in some way during the processing. And those few portions of oil, maybe, even if it's just a few that are fractionalized, oxidize very quickly. They rancify. And it's one bad apple does ruin the whole bunch. If there's rancid fat next to non-rancid fat, all of the fat takes on the rancidity. And so we recommend whole flax seeds, ground freshly. So there is no time, even though, yes, the fats will be fractionalized when you grind them, they will not rancify by the time you put them into your body a couple of minutes later. And so there are three reasons, though, why flaxseed is better than flaxseed oil. And I'm sorry, Amy, did you want to help us understand that a little bit?
No, go ahead. You're on a roll.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was, just like I said, I was feeling it. So I wanted to get the information out about flaxseed, because it's one of the things that really, really, in my opinion, is another deception being, you know, pulled off on people. They take the flaxseed, they sell you the oil, and then they take the flaxseed meal and they sell it to some other unsuspecting company that sells it to you in a nutritional supplement, and that way they make their money both ways and they charge you a lot to do it. Well, what we like you to do is grind the flaxseed fresh, and you get three benefits. Imagine a flaxseed is a little bit like an egg. The outer shell is called lignan, and lignan is a substance that has been shown to be more effective than tamoxifen at the reduction of breast tumor recurrence. So women who have had breast tumors who take tamoxifen, and women who have had breast tumors that take flaxseed with the lignan, are less likely to develop additional tumors than the women who take tamoxifen, and that's pretty cool. So if you have an element in a food that could help reduce tumors in your body, I would rather have it than not have it. And so that's the shell of the flaxseed. Now, we said it's like an egg, so let's go to the white. The white would be the fiber, and the fiber is this fiber called beta-glucan, and it's a soluble fiber. So the outer part is an insoluble fiber, and the inner part is a soluble fiber called beta-glucan, and beta-glucan is known as the cholesterol magnet. it actually adheres to and sticks to cholesterol and guides it out of your body. So reducing cholesterol is certainly going to benefit somebody with potential for heart attack or stroke, because cholesterol contributes to hardening of the arteries. In addition to that, the yolk, the runny part, if you would, it is the oil, the flaxseed oil that we said is so rich in GLA, and which are omega-3 fatty acids, and those have been shown to be very important to reduce, to increase circulation and reduce high blood pressure. So whole flax seeds are far better than just flaxseed oil, and those are just a few of the reasons.
Right, and this, I can't believe it. I started out a nutritional supplement program with something other than a green drink. but, of course, what comes number two in the superfood additions that you can make to your diet would, of course, be a green drink. And, we recommend that as the kind of cornerstone of any nutritional regimen. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why green drinks? Like the organic Kamut blend or like the barley green juice or Best of Greens are so important when you're talking about hypertension.
Well, the first thing is that they're very rich in trace minerals, including magnesium. And magnesium is one of those things that helps, as we talked about with the sympathetic nervous system, it helps relax the contractions of the heart. And so that's really important. Secondly, it increases the uptake of oxygen. The uptake of oxygen is vitally important because our blood, the oxygen-rich portion of the blood, heme, is very important at delivering antioxidants into the bloodstream, and that's where the antioxidants can fight those free radical damage that we said comes from cigarette smoke, alcohol, consuming bad food, or stress. In addition to that, they also are heavy metal chelators. Green foods chelate heavy metals, and that's good because, as we said, lead and mercury have been shown to be contributors to high blood pressure. Now, I could probably go on and on and on, but let's just finish with alkalinity. They alkalize the acids that oftentimes lead to the lesions in the heart that ultimately become that damage the our arteries and cause the buildup of plaque. So green foods are all the way when it comes, and they lower cholesterol. So green foods are really vitally important for so many reasons within the body, and many of those reasons contribute to a healthy heart and a lowering of blood pressure or a reduction of hypertension.
Absolutely.
Now, Amy, you know that that a lot of people say, well, green foods, they're rich in a lot of nutrients, but they don't have vitamin C. But a lot of people don't realize that vitamin C isn't, just taking vitamin C for high blood pressure sometimes could be not as easy as it sounds, because the vitamin C that we're being sold out there isn't necessarily really vitamin C. So why don't you tell people a little bit about RC from nature and why it is really beneficial to people who have heart disease?
Well, RC from nature is a whole food, a food source vitamin C. It's not ascorbic acid. So your body actually will utilize that many more times over the what it will of ascorbic acid, so much more assimilable by the body. So C from nature provides naturally occurring vitamin C that can act to improve your adrenal function and can also minimize blood clotting tendencies. So we definitely recommend to take the C from nature, not a typical vitamin C that you would find at the drugstore or health food store from ascorbic acid.
Exactly. And, a lot of people don't realize that C from nature comes from four natural foods that come from all different parts of the world. For example, the amla berry from India, the acerola cherry that comes from the Caribbean, and the kamu kamu that comes from the Amazonian rainforest, along with, other, natural sources of bioflavonoids, and it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal product. So in addition to that, though, one of our newer products, a lot of people remember, Amy, I talked about debunking myths about nutrition and how we warned people that vitamin E supplements were not all that they were cracked up to be.
Exactly.
And now a long-term study shows that vitamin E that they sold you might have been rancid because vitamin E is a fat. Well, we found an amazing source of vitamin E equivalents, and it's part of one of our newest products one of our products that you and I take almost every day. Isn't that right?
Exactly, and that's the rice bran solubles, and those contain tocotrienols, which are natural vitamin E-type nutrients, and they're from a food-based source. They're not extracted and isolated, so your body can utilize those much better than they can, and there's no risk of rancidity.
Exactly, and you know what's funny is that imagine if you went into, I don't know, let's say you went into a candy shop and the first thing that you tried you really liked, and so you invested all the money in your pocket in that particular type of candy. And then your brother came in and he said, oh, why'd you buy that? That isn't very good. You should try these other candies. And you looked over and your brother was eating all this other candy that was much better. I hate to use candy as an example, but the bottom line is, when scientists discovered vitamin E, they fell in love with it, and they invested all their research into vitamin E. And then other scientists came along and said, wow, we actually found out that vitamin E is the weakest of all of the tocopherols, that there's actually 7 tocopherols that are much stronger, and that the body needs all 8 of these in order to actually be protective from heart disease and other conditions. And so, unfortunately, again, the American public was sold a bill of goods about ascorbic acid being vitamin C. It was a lie. That vitamin E was the antioxidant that your body needed, and that was a lie, because it was actually tocopherols and trienols and tocotrienols and all 8 structures in that family. So another fraud that was perpetrated on the American public, along with hydrogenated oils, ascorbic acid, and vitamin E, which we're trying to reverse with this, obviously, this education that we're sharing and the products that give you access to alternatives to those foods that truly are not what they were cracked up to be.
Exactly. Well, let's move on and talk about kind of our superstar here of the supplements that we recommend, and that's the Heart Aid, and that is a synergistically combined formula of herbs and other ingredients to stimulate circulation, strengthen the heart, and reduce hypertension as well as cholesterol. So tell us a little bit more about how we put the formula together and some of the ingredients in this awesome formula called Heart Aid.
You know, I'm going to ask your permission to save that for last, because
okay,
we have
cool.
Two other foods that are individual.
Yeah, I was
kind
of thinking that too, but I was just going down the list. So let's move on to activated barley. I agree, which is another powerhouse of a superfood that contains those soluble fibers that we were talking about before, like that are also in the flax seeds. So tell us a little bit more about activated barley and why we love it so much.
Well, activated barley has a pretty cool history that you could read about online, but the main reason I want you all to know about activated barley is because it is, it really is, in my opinion, it's the superstar of all grains. It's the slowest burning carbohydrate. It contains more beta-glucan gel than any other of the foods that are more popular, like oat bran and things like that. And so activated barley is a germinated organic barley grain, but it is not allowed to sprout. In fact, the bottom line is that we have a patent on, not we have, but we have a partner who has a patent on the process that recreates a 2,000-year-old recipe created by Greek and Roman physicians. This is a food that was literally ripped from the annals of history and brought back to us in an amazing way. And so I think that activated barley again contains beta glucan, which is a gel that, like in the flaxseed, reduces cholesterol. But activated barley is also a super slow burning carbohydrate, so it controls the level of sugar that ends up in your blood, and that's really important as well. And so I believe that, you know, that activated barley is really important for the purpose of controlling cholesterol, but at the same time, it's also important for the purpose of reducing the effect of sugar on the heart, which is very pro-oxidative. So super slow-burning carbohydrate helps you lose weight, and we all know that weight is a very serious...
important risk factor.
Yeah, risk factor for heart disease as well. So there's a lot of reasons. And, you know, activated barley, it's in our, you know, it reduces cholesterol and all of that, but it's in most of our weight loss packs. as one of the key ingredients, and also is in, you know, our endurance packs and everything that we give you that helps strengthen the body. It boosts the immune system. So activated barley truly is a simple food, among the simplest foods you'll ever find, and yet it is one of the more potent foods in your body, and definitely is a must for people who worry about heart disease and obesity.
Yes, absolutely. Also, we recommend the Apopa cherry because it's such a super potent antioxidant. It contains bioflavonoids as well as anthocyanins. So tell us a little bit about how that can help in our fight against this cardiovascular disease.
Well, if we look at the fact that the tart cherry concentrate is better than blueberries at reducing inflammation, it has more of the proanthocyanidins or those anti-inflammatory compounds that are so very important at controlling coronary heart disease. Obviously, we know inflammation in our arteries cause a constriction in the passageways, which lead to an increase in blood pressure and ultimately potentially one of those devastating strokes or even worse, a heart attack. So while there's a ton of wonderful things in the tart cherry, we know that it relieves gout. We know that obviously it helps us to sleep better. It reduces our risk for cancer. You know, the tart cherry makes our skin beautiful. It's been shown now to be effective even against for type 2 diabetes, against insulin resistance. And yet one of the major benefits of tart cherry is still its anti-inflammatory ability. Now, you mentioned its antioxidant ability. Why don't you tell them a little bit about the amazing ORAC rating of tart cherry? But before you do, I will tell you that you would need to eat 2 servings of blueberries for every 1 serving of tart cherry to get the same anti-inflammatory effect.
Exactly. Well, the tart cherry comes in 2 tablespoons with 7,000 ORAC units per 2 tablespoons, which that is pretty amazing. That's definitely higher than blueberries, higher than pomegranate, higher than these superfoods, these other superfoods that are being touted on the market.
Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, we even have the article that shows that, you know, that the evidence that shows that those anti-inflammatory non-steroidal drugs actually have a lot of risk factors associated with using those as well. So what a great alternative. And so now, I apologize for having put
no,
it off.
No, let's get back to Heart Aid. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how the formula was put together and some of the ingredients in the formula?
Cool. Well, one thing that we need to note is that 50% of all women, 5 out of 10, 50 out of 100, 1 out of 2, 50% of all women actually ultimately die from a heart attack. So I want women to pay particular attention to this information and not to think that heart attacks only happen to men. So even cancer and AIDS put together don't account for as many heart attacks in women as many deaths as heart attacks. So we have put together a really amazing combination of herbs from all over the world. And again, we love Ayurvedic herbs. So let's start in with one Ayurvedic herb called Arjuna. And for years, herbalists in the Far East have used Arjuna to help regulate blood pressure. And it is one of the most revered herbs and, again, is written about for 2,000 years to help people who suffer from, before they knew it was hypertension, they still had the symptoms, dizziness and numbness, et cetera, so Ayurveda is an ancient healing art, and Arjuna is one of the ancient secrets within that art. One of the newer, you could say, discoveries that is included is grapeseed extract. And within grapeseed extract are OPCs, and OPCs are very anti-inflammatory, and they actually are such a low molecular weight that they could work within the blood and penetrate the blood-brain barrier as well as work deep within the heart, and they're again, anti-inflammatory. Now, cilantro, the next ingredient, is one of nature's most effective chelators, and this helps reduce heavy metals, as we talked about, being one of the contributors to heart disease. Cayenne pepper, a South American herb, which is valued traditionally as a tonic for the heart to help prevent heart attacks, actually originally came from the African continent and was used traditionally in Jamu, the ancient healing arts practice in Africa. A lot of research has shown that garlic, which contains a number of beneficial compounds, particularly sulfur compounds, which help decrease blood pressure. Ginger strengthens the heart muscles and stimulates circulation. An increase of circulation is definitely beneficial at reducing blood pressure. White American ginseng increases the amount of oxygen. And as we noted earlier, oxygen is vitally important for not only circulation, but for the strength of the capillaries and the integrity of, you know, of the heart. Perhaps the next ingredient also comes from Ayurveda, and that is called Google. And Google Lipid is a registered trademark. It's a brand name that we use. But Google Lipid had recent clinical studies that suggested that it may reduce the levels of serum lipids in the bloodstream, which is very, very important. But the most important ingredient, and it is the number one ingredient on the label, and that is hawthorn berry. Hawthorn berry is considered the greatest cardiotonic of all, among all herbs, because it actually dilates the coronary blood vessels. And when the coronary blood vessels are dilated, they dramatically reduce high blood pressure. So it really is, in my opinion, it is the most comprehensive heart formula ever put together. And when used in combination with the other foods that are mostly lifestyle changes and whole foods, we're talking about a combination of lifestyle changes and, again, whole foods. And when you combine both along with this powerful herbal formula, then you are going to be doing the maximum for yourself as it relates to avoiding and never having to find yourself in a position of getting a heart attack or a stroke.
Exactly. So yeah, that was a well thought out, well put together from, you know, all aspects of nutrition from around the world in that formula.
So Amy, there are some other things that I'd like you to talk about, because when we talk to people with this condition, we make some other recommendations, some things that they should maybe consider doing as well. Do you want to you want me to take the first one? You can take number two, and I'll do number three.
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay. Detoxifying the body, like the fast that we went on, is a very, very good way to reduce blood pressure. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the fast? So just take a second.
Well, basically where you don't eat food.
And well, no, the fast that we have.
We call it the anabolic fast, and we were fasting with 3 to 4 shakes a day of a green drink, spirulina, activated barley, rice bran solubles, carrot juice plus. And all the fasting protocols are on the website, so please visit www.phporder.com under education, and you can learn all about the fasting protocols. But 3 to 4 shakes a day, and it's wonderful because you are not hungry, along with the master amino acid, and you have a great energy level, you know, feel great. In fact, Dave and I did it for 10 days, and I was kind of sad when the 10 days were over. So I strongly recommend anyone to do that, and it's such an easy thing. You feel so good. Your cells are nourished.
You weren't feeling stressed out is the part that I really wanted to get to. Is I've never seen Amy in a calmer, peaceful, more like just an amazing place. And so, I mean, definitely the stress level was reduced dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. So check out the fasting protocols on the website, and I encourage everyone to do it. It was just a great experience. Another recommendation, go ahead.
Oh, what about tap water? Isn't there some dangers there?
Yeah, we don't want to drink tap water. We want to drink purified water, for sure, bottled, purified, distilled.
Anything that is not going to contain the chemicals like chloride and fluoramine that are typically found in municipal water supplies. And also be careful of well water. Well water could be really hard and have a lot of compounds in it that may not be so good for your body, like gypsum and other minerals that might be dissolved into it. So just be careful there. And speaking about being careful, we'd be remiss if we did not tell you that many heart attacks occur during two types of exertion. One is sitting on the toilet. If you are pressing and pushing, trying to go potty, a lot of people actually die and have heart attacks while overexerting themselves in that way. And in the bedroom, you have to be careful. If you have high blood pressure, you want to take it easy during lovemaking. You want to make sure that you don't get, you know, I'm not going to go into graphic detail here, but you just want to take it easy.
Yes. So let me run over the protocols real quick because we're running a little bit short on time here. We want to take a couple questions at the end. But I want to give the protocols for the superfood supplements that we talked about. We recommend or we suggest that you take a tablespoon of your green food choice, whether it be the organic kamut blend or the organic barley green juice, mixed with a tablespoon of activated barley and a tablespoon of the rice bran solubles on an empty stomach first thing in the morning and mid-afternoon. Also, later, 30 minutes prior to your evening meal, take one more tablespoon of your choice of green food 30 minutes prior to your evening meal. And then consume a quarter cup of freshly ground Flax Advantage daily by sprinkling it on cereal, yogurt, or mixing it in with a drink or smoothie. And go out and purchase a little coffee grinder. They're less than $10 at Target or Walmart, and it makes it really easy to freshly grind your Flax Advantage. So do a quarter cup of that per day. Also, take 3 C from Nature and 3 Heart Aid with your green rice and activated barley drink per day. And take 1 tablespoon of the apothecary mixed with water prior to bedtime. And so that is our protocol for the PHP supplements that we put out for hypertension.
Excellent.
And again, we want to to state again that this is not medical advice. This is just pure suggestion. This is education. This is knowledge. And please seek advice of your healthcare practitioner.
Awesome. Well, Amy, I want to thank you because that was, in my opinion, we did run over, and I apologize for that, but we had a lot of information to share. And one thing, you know, I've listened to other, you know, conference calls from other product-oriented companies, and I think we probably spent 20 minutes out of that entire hour and 20 minutes talking about the products, and the hour was talking about the peripheral holistic approach of body, mind, spirit. And I want to let you know that there is no magic bullet. There is no single pill you could take. The Brazilian weight loss pill, there's nothing magic like that. It's an illusion. So thank you for taking the time to listen to a little bit of reality because this is an educational process and people are always going to look for the easy way out. And if you look at this battle plan and you go, you mean I've got to exercise and I've got to eat right and I've got to stop doing these things and remember to take supplements, but the doctor's offering me this pill that does it all. What would you say to them, Amy?
Well, there's no side effects in what we're talking about here. It's common sense. It's something that you can do yourself. You're not, you know, nobody can stop you from going out and exercising. Nobody can stop you from making the right choices when you eat. So basically, you have freedom. You're free from the pharmacy.
I think there's side effects.
Well, positive ones, like lowering cholesterol, losing weight.
Having more energy.
Yeah, no negative side effects, I should say.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And you definitely, you know, you will definitely know that the side effects of this program are going to be so many that you're just going to love it because a lot of these same things are going to reduce the metabolic, metabolic signs of other diseases that might be developing in your body. So thank you for some really awesome information, Amy, as usual. You guided us through that I think you made it fun, so thank you for that.
Well, cool. Well, thank you again for taking time out. I know you're exhausted after just getting off the plane a couple hours ago and doing the 3 days of the trade show and then headed up to Florida, I should say, to Clearwater and doing an event there. So thank you so much. Let's open up the phone and see if there's a couple questions out there before we have to go tonight. Did you open it?
I thought I did. Is anybody, if you would hit *6, you will be able to speak to us and ask a question.
Any questions out there tonight? We have time for a couple.
Hello, yeah.
Hi.
I have a question. Yeah, my name is John Front. I'm from New York. Well, actually, I have a lot of questions, but do you have, like, later on where I could talk to you personally and ask you questions, or would it just have to be, like, you know, right now?
Well, if it's a very personal nature, then you could email the question to me or call me and speak to me tomorrow during the day. If you'd like to, you could email the question to PHP. And tomorrow on Thursdays, I have my Q&A. It's a radio. It's like a radio show, but it's a conference call like this on this same number. It starts at 1 o'clock Eastern. And if you email in questions anonymously, I answer them for everyone to be able to benefit from the answer, because it's difficult to always do private consultations, but I'm willing to if it's of a private nature. If you're willing to email the question in to info@phporder, if you're willing to email the information in to info@phporder, then I can or call in, then we'll be happy to the order line, then we'll be happy to take the question and answer it between 1 and 2 o'clock tomorrow on this same exact number.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, it's my phone. It's my phone. So what was the email address again?
It's info@phporder.com.
phporder.com.
Yes.
And whose attention? Ted, right?
To Dave.
Dave.
Oh, Dave. I'm sorry, Dave.
Dave, yeah.
No worries. You can call me Ted.
Oh. Awesome. Well, that'd be great. Any other questions tonight?
Yeah, where do the children's health products come into all this?
Where do the which products?
The children's health products. Do they have any for children line?
This is a call about hypertension, and typically hypertension is not associated with juveniles, but the same advice would apply and the same products would be used.
And because our products that we're recommending are food-based, once a child is of 100 pounds, we consider them adult weight. They can take adult dosage. But the greens, the activated barley, the rice bran solubles, the cherry, the vitamin C, absolutely safe for children.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions tonight?
Hello, Dave and Amy. How are you?
Hi, just fine. How about you?
All right, thank you. My name is, Joseph. I call from time to time. I'm just calling in regard to that guy's question about juveniles. Even though that this program is not for juveniles, we are seeing a lot of, bad things in children. And nowadays, hypertension is one of them. And also as well as sugar in the blood as well in kids,
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it might be appropriate to speak a little bit about that, if you can say a few words about that.
Well, there's no doubt that the pressure we put on our children to perform in school and at sports and in a competitive world, they experience stress as well. They also oftentimes have obesity, which contributes, as we said, the number one contributor to that. I think that the key is that because hypertension typically will affect people over 100 pounds, and because our products are completely safe for children, that the same information applies, the same advice applies. And so by all means, we're seeing adult diseases manifesting themselves in children. I just meant they're not necessarily addressing themselves in like infants but definitely teenagers and even some preteens are being affected by these conditions, and we certainly don't want to ignore them or discount the fact that they need help in this area as well.
Thank you, Nate.
Absolutely. Any other questions tonight?
Yes, me, John, again. I'm sorry. I think this one... I guess I could talk about. You see, I'm a vegetarian, right? And I eat a lot of, whole grains. I eat, like, salt-free food and everything. And I eat, like, a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Awesome.
Like, I have a lot of servings of fruits and vegetables. And, like I'm saying, and then hypertension does run in my family. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to know, you know, like stevia, you know, the stevia, is that good for you? And what about Celtic sea salt?
Well, I have to give a warning here that I failed to give earlier, and that is a significant study that I read that showed that people of African descent traditionally did not consume salt because the continent of Africa, salt was not a spice that was used. And as a consequence, the kidneys of African descendants are incapable of processing the levels of salt that are found in Western quality foods. And so the reduction of sodium intake is absolutely essential in that subgroup for sure. However, the herbs and the heart aid are what I'm recommending for you because you've already indicated that you understand the need to reduce certain foods amongst with salt being one of them, and you've already accomplished that in your life.
All right, so you're saying, okay, so you're saying that the heart aid would be good for me. Look.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'll think about the heart aid. All right, and so what about, so even Celtic sea salt would be bad, like even Celtic sea salt.
That's right. You might want to use sea kelp, which has a nice salty flavor and a lot less sodium than any other seasoning, and I think that might help accomplish the taste for you.
Celtic salt might be good, too.
Oh, Celtic salt?
No, Celtic salt is better, sea salt is better than any other type of salt, absolutely.
All right.
The only salt I use, the only salt that Amy uses, to my knowledge, is sea salt.
All right, because that's what I use. I mean, I use that. And what about stevia? I heard that stevia was good for you, I heard, or was I wrong about that? Like, what about stevia?
Well, stevia in very small amounts is okay. You don't want to use it regularly as a sugar substitute. Just in small amounts, and it's actually beneficial to you.
Okay, so anything else you could use to sweeten, like ice, like when you do herbal teas? Or
yeah, I like agave syrup. What do you think, Amy? Do you like it?
Definitely. Agave is a really nice sugar substitute.
Oh, agave? Okay.
Uh-huh. Agave syrup. You can find it, like, at health food stores.
What about Whole Foods? Like,
I'm sure Whole Foods has it. Yep, definitely.
Get the raw organic agave, and it's the only raw organic sugar substitute that has such a low glycemic index. You know, you don't want to overdo it, but you want to use it to flavor, and I think you'll be amazed at the taste that it has.
All right, I just normally do it for flavoring. I don't really do it, like, you know, overdo it. I just do it for flavoring. And what about, like, herbal teas or raw organic chocolate?
Herbal teas are fine. And the higher the cocoa content in the chocolate, the better. So things over 85 are what I recommend. Things at 85 is the cutoff. So as long as it's 85%, then I'm cool.
What about tofu? Tofu's all right, right?
No, but let's not get into that full discussion. There will be someone else to have questions. That's what the PHP info line is for, so we could answer all those. But I love your curiosity, and we could do a whole show on tofu, but I'm not a big tofu fan at all.
All right, no problem.
Okay. Let's see if there's any other questions out there tonight, because we're definitely have gone over the time.
Yeah, Dave. Hi, this is Jack from the Bronx.
Hi, hey, Jack. How's it going tonight?
Good. How you doing, Amy?
Great.
Good, good.
Dave, I'm glad you clarified that, how they put zero trans fats on things. But in the ingredients, you're still going to find hydrogenated oil, partially hydrogenated.
Correct.
So they're contradicting themselves right on the package.
That's right.
I just, like, look away as if somebody took off all their clothes and they were ugly.
Doesn't it make you sick? I mean, you're just sitting here and you're going, How is it? You know, Jack, it reminds me of the fact that our gas prices are going through the roof and Americans are just sitting back going, la-ti-da-di-da, it's okay, I got a raise at work. I don't mind giving all the money that I got for my raise last year, not to my children or to improving my home or to my quality of life. I don't mind giving it to the gas station guy. Who cares? I mean,
you know,
I can't
it's
believe
a good
the way
excuse
that
Americans
sit back
more.
And let themselves be abused.
That the gas price is a good excuse to walk more.
Yes.
No,
absolutely.
I'm just saying that we've got to stand up as a nation.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to demand change from our leaders, and we're not doing it. And so tonight is a good way. It's a good wake-up call with that whole trans fats thing. I love what they're doing in New York, but the rest of the country needs to get on it. And so, Amy, I know that it's 7:30 now. We're about to turn into a pumpkin. So I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. The questions were great. Amy, the information was awesome, and I'd like to just turn it over to you now to wrap this thing up.
Well, great. Well, I want to thank you, Dave, again for leading the call here tonight, and wanted to remind everyone, if you like the information, if you want to share it with friend, family, loved one, coworker, anyone, please give them the replay line number. That is 212-461-8911. Give them the website address, phporder.com. Click on education. We will have the conference call link there tomorrow afternoon, as well as if we have your email address on file, we will email you out a web link. You can forward that on to anyone on your mail list and say, hey, check this out if you know anybody that could benefit from this information about hypertension. So please share the call, share the information, share the knowledge. And thanks, everyone, for taking time out to be with us tonight. And we'll be with you next week. And the topic of next week's call is going to be getting a great night's sleep, which many
Ooh.
Of us have lots of problems with. So we're going to be talking about that next week. So thanks so much, and we look forward to being with you again next week.